All right. Well, I'm going to leave it up to you, Mr. Dwyer, where you want to speak from. If you want to speak from here or down there or up there, it's up to you. And so I'm just really excited to have Mr. Dwyer with us. And God in his providence worked it out to where I really wanted him to speak today, but we had scheduled the Grays to come. And let's pray for Mike and Barbara. They're both sick, and they got to drive back to Richmond. And so let's pray that God will be with them. We'll reschedule and have them come back. But the Lord worked it all out. So we're excited to have you come on and share with us this morning God's word.
I think I'll use this one right here.
All right. Okay? Absolutely. Right there? Okay. All right.
I need to see them better than they see me.
Did you turn your mic on?
I think I'm good. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Can y'all hear me? I have it on.
Turn.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Yeah.
It's getting there.
How about that? That's good. Thank you. There we go. Well, it's a wonderful honor, and I'm humbled to be asked to speak this morning and to be back here at Suburban Christian. And so thank you. I think probably this was a wonderful opportunity in the making we were not aware of. I was anxious to hear the missionary because I'd heard him before when we were here once before. We have mutual friends in Japan, as a matter of fact, mutual friends who are missionaries there. But anyway, it worked out this way. And so thank you for the wonderful opportunity. He mentioned the Acts commentary, and it's over here on my right, your left. If you're interested in a copy, then I will be glad to sign that for you. They're $30 if you want one. If I sign them, they're $25. And so anyway, I'd be happy to do that. Also, if you don't have the money, Todd has promised to cover it for you. So that'll be okay. I've been asked lots of times, how long did it take you to write that commentary? All my life. It is literally a life work, and all the things that I did in order to study and so forth, all of those are put into that book, and I absolutely loved doing it. I've been asked to speak tonight, by the way, at Great Bridge, and I'll be there, and they are wanting the commentary as well, and so I'm thankful for this whole, the way everything worked out this weekend. Especially so happy to be with our family in this occasion. Carolyn and I moved to Middle Tennessee about 4 years ago. I'm not sure what retirement is. I don't know how to define it because we're probably as busy now as we've ever been doing different things. One of those things I'd like to ask you to pray about, we were involved in merging two churches that had split over 40 years ago. And so in the Lord's leading, and we worked with them to help put them back together, but they said, we will only do this if you'll be our pastor. And so wasn't planning on that. But please pray about all of that. It's just been a wonderful experience and something that God had to do, and just a wonderful time. But we live there, and so we don't get to see our children as often as we would like. And so it's a marvelous privilege for us to be here. And I want to say to you all, thank you for loving our kids. Thank you for loving Todd and Wendy. And thank you for loving our grandchildren. And we are just privileged and humbled about the way the Lord has led about all of that. But I do want to ask you to pray for Todd and Wendy. Since they have gotten that dog, they are just pitiful. Just absolutely pitiful. They never treated their children like they treat that dog. They never cared for their children like they treat that dog. And so it's an interesting dynamic with all of that now. And I'm just not sure how I feel about that. Anyway, thanks for all of that. I'm headed for Luke chapter 2. Will you take a Bible and turn with me there, please? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Luke. Something like that. Luke chapter 2. Heard a story not long ago of a young couple getting married, and each of them had a problem, the girl did, the boy did, and so the girl went to her mom. She said, Mom, what am I supposed to do when we get married? You know I have this terrible breath problem, especially in the mornings when I wake up. What am I supposed to do? And she said, well, hon, you're just going to have to get up earlier than your husband and use mouthwash and everything and make sure you don't offend him when you wake up. She said, okay. The boy had a problem. He had a really bad foot odor. And so he went to his dad and said, Dad, what am I supposed to do? You know I have this terrible foot odor, especially in the mornings when I wake up. He said, well, you've just got to wash your feet really good before you go to bed at night and use some of these odor eater socks and put those on. You should be okay. Well, that worked for a while, but one morning after the marriage, he woke up and his sock had come off in the night. And he got to crawling around in the bottom of the bed trying to find that sock and woke her up. And she sat up and looked at him and said, what's the matter? He said, did you eat my sock? Yes. I think smiling in church, that's the point of that story, is to get us to smile a little bit. It helps, and it helps us to be a little more open sometimes if we smile. Luke chapter 2, I want to read one verse and then enlarge on this particular idea, this theme. Can you handle one post-Christmas theme? Well, I hope so. If I were at my church this morning, this is what I would address. But Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 20, it says this, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen, heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And the shepherds returned. They had to go back to work, didn't they? Most events in our lives basically are trivial things strung together in the routines that we find necessary to make our lives work. Trivial in a routine to make things work. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Many of you will go back to work on Monday, and you will return to doing the very things that you did before you got a break at Christmas. That's just the way it is. For that reason alone, we should never, however, underestimate the value of the trivial and the routine, because that's what makes life work. But God has this way of interrupting us in the routine and in the trivial in order to reveal to us the things that we need to make the quality of our lives different. And so it was with the shepherds. These shepherds are probably Levitical shepherds. They're on the hillsides of Bethlehem tending the sheep. It probably would be used for sacrifice in the temple system of worship. Of particular interest would have been the birthing of the lambs on the hillsides of Bethlehem. Bethlehem, of course, is the city of David, means house of bread. I've been to Israel, been to Bethlehem, and stood in the shepherd's field, and noticed particularly that it is basically littered here and there with what are called shepherd's caves. And it's a rocky area, and grazing on those hillsides when I was there were flocks of sheep here and there. Now, they're not being raised or shepherded now for sacrifice because there's no temple. But they're keeping the same process of shepherding that they always have. But in those shepherd's caves is where the lambs would have been born. And those lambs in this day were specially chosen because they would become sacrificial lambs. And the mangers would have been made of different things, but normally, usually, they would have been chiseled from a piece of rock. In our scenarios of Christmas, we build a wooden manger. And that's okay, nothing wrong with that. And they probably had that too, but normally it would have been a chiseled manger out of rock where they would put straw, and in that manger, when a lamb was born that would have been used for the sacrifices later, then they would lay the newborn lamb. At the side, in the part of the cave, as a part of what they did, They had swaddling cloth because when the lambs were born, they had to be cleaned, they had to be protected, they had to be kept warm. And so in every one of those shepherds' caves, they would have swaddling cloth that was laid to the side in case there was a birth of a little lamb. And so those shepherds knew very well about that process. It's what they were doing. And so when Mary and Joseph came to Bethlehem and could not find a place in the inn, which probably was not all that bad, as it were, although God had a different plan in mind, didn't he? And so they went to the shepherd's field where they found a shepherd's cave, probably. And in that shepherd's cave, that night, was born the baby Jesus. Just exactly as they had been told that would happen. And do you remember what Mary and Joseph did when Jesus was born? She wrapped him in what? Swaddling clothes. Where did she get them? They would have been there all along, left by the shepherds for the swaddling of the newborn lambs to protect and to clean and so forth and to keep them for what they were intended later. The analogy, I think, should not be lost on us, and later it was not lost in the writing of the New Testament. So that night, you remember, on somewhere in that shepherd's field, which is pretty extensive, then the angels of God appeared to those shepherds. I have an affinity with these shepherds, by the way, because they're blue-collar workers, as it were. They're the guys who work the night shift. And so there's music on the night shift. And that music is glorifying and praising God. And then they said, now go over here and you will find Mary and Joseph and a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And they knew exactly that process, but they were directed particularly by the leading of the star. You remember that? And they went exactly and found just what the angel had said. And so they went through that process, went through that scene, and then, you know, like the song says, here come the wise men out of the east. No, it didn't happen like that night. That was much later, and we've added our traditions to them and so forth, and all of that's wonderful, but that night, it's just these shepherds. And here lying in this manger, where normally there would have been a newborn lamb, was a baby. And they said, you know, there's something special about this. Now, that analogy was not lost later, and I'll come to that in just a minute. But in the normal pursuit of the shepherds' lives, God intervenes and says, guys, in effect, I've got something that I want you to see. It was in the trivial routine of being a shepherd that God spoke to them. God has a way of doing that. If you'll trace this right through the Bible, and I did this a number of years ago, like Genesis 19, here's Abraham and Sarah, heat of the day, they've just had lunch, and in their culture, they would take a nap after lunch. I really like that cultural practice. I think it's just one of the best things. But in the heat of the day, here's Abraham and Sarah out in the desert, the plains of Midian, and Abraham sleepily looks up and three men are here. You can read the story. Who is it? It's God shows up. And God says to Abraham, I want to remind you of something I told you several years ago. Your wife is going to have a baby. Now, they're like 89 and 99 years old at the time. And so they quickly fix a meal. And the Lord says again to Abraham, Sarah's going to have a baby this time next year. And Sarah does what? She laughs. And God said, did I just hear her laugh? Sarah says, oh no, I didn't laugh. Yeah, you did. Well, sure enough, about a year later, they have a child, and do you remember what they named him? Laughing boy. Named him Isaac, which is a Hebrew word which means laughter. And so in the trivial working of their lives, God shows up. And then later, do you recall there's this kid that takes some food to his brothers? They're in a battle. And his dad says, take this food, they're hungry, I'm sure. And when you get there, tell them hello for me. And so a young shepherd boy by the name of David makes that trip with this load of food to give to his brothers. And while he's there, this guy named Goliath shows up and challenges everybody. Again, this is just the normal routine of what a boy would do as his father directed him. And it was in that time that God revealed himself in David's life at that point, that this was the guy. Y'all remember that story? And you can work right through that, right through the Bible, that in the trivial routine of life, God shows us that there is something significant to learn. It's what happened with these shepherds. And so here they are, working like this, and that night the Lord shows up. That's exactly the scenario here we have in Luke chapter 2. And so when Jesus is born, that analogy then is not lost. You remember later when cousin John starts preaching, we call him John the Baptist. By the way, not John the Presbyterian, John the Baptist. I'm sorry, not that's not right. When he's preaching, one day by the River Jordan, he's baptizing folks. And then he stops and he says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, if you were a literalist, if you were a wooden-headed literalist, you would have turned around and said, oh, there must be a little lamb, four-legged white lamb walking down the road. No. That's not what John meant. John meant that here's the man who is the Lamb of God. Later, the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2 wrote that Jesus was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, and he was without spot or blemish. All in keeping with that whole analogy of God's holiness needing to be satisfied with an appropriate, sinless, perfect sacrifice. And the only one that could meet that was not the little lambs born to the shepherds and wrapped in swaddling cloth on a regular basis, but the one lamb that was born on that particular time in that shepherd's cave on the hillsides of Bethlehem. It was that Lamb of God. And so that analogy must not be lost to you and me. You and I need to enjoy Christmas, don't we? Amen. Oh, I like Christmas. I like the decorations, if somebody else will put them up and take them down. I like the food, I like the gifting, and so for all of that. I like Christmas, but we must always be careful not to miss the meaning. It's about a lamb, isn't it? It's about that little lamb born that was wrapped in swaddling clothes. It's in that trivial. You know, big things happen then in the average trivial routine of life. Carolyn and I have been married for a while now. We just celebrated our 53rd wedding anniversary, Hollis, 53 years. Thank you. We married when we were 5. And the thing about it is, One day I went to school, I saw this girl, and then we got married. I mean, it just was a big event. And now we have children and grandchildren, and when we're together, it is just the happiest time. Amen. Is it that way in your family? You know, some families fuss. You don't need to fuss. You need to love each other. Amen. But you know what made the difference with us? And what makes the difference in our family? Christ made the difference. We had our class reunion not long ago. And I hadn't seen these folks, Roy, in many, many, many years. And so we had a class reunion and got to see them. And boy, some of them have changed. We haven't, but some of them have. And some of those girls that I used to think were so pretty in high school, I sure am glad I married Carol. In fact, not long ago, she saw some, can I walk around a little bit? In fact, not long ago, she saw one of those high school girls, good friends, they're all still good friends. And she came home and she said, "Saw so-and-so today, you should be glad you married me." How did that happen? How did our lives become what they did? Because God did this. When I was at that reunion, they asked me to lead in prayer before we had all the other things. That would never have happened if I was in high school. Some of them even said to me, "You're a preacher?" Now, some have known that. "You're a preacher? What?" And my stock answer is, because Christ changed my life. Amen. That's why it is the way it is. When Christ changed my life, everything changed. Everything about my life changed because He is the Lord of everything in my life. He is the Lord of the way we do this. He is the Lord of the way we do that. I mess up enough, and so I have to apologize to God a lot, but He is Lord of everything. He owns our property. He owns our bank accounts. We are simply stewards of all that He has. In the trivial routine of our lives, it is Christ that makes the difference with everything. You know, some people only do this about religion when they go to church. They only think about religion, or they only think about God, or they only think about the protocol and processes when they go to church or some religious gathering. Ladies and gentlemen, Christ wants to be Lord in everything. Amen. Amen. And so when those shepherds returned, they went back to doing what? Tending those dirty sheep. When they cut themselves, they had to doctor them. They had to fleece them. They had to take care of them. They had to pick the woolly burgers out of their fleece. They just had to do the shepherd stuff. It didn't change. What happened over in that shepherd's cave did not change what they had to do the next day when they went back. But boy, did it change them. And that's the whole point. And the shepherds returned doing what now? Glorifying and praising God. The way they came back, Hollis, is not the way they had gone. They were totally different. And then I think back about that time that I was invited to Sunday school. My family did not go to church. I have almost no spiritual heritage from which to draw. My wife does, I do not. But I was invited to come to Sunday school, and I did. And when I went, I heard a story I had never heard in my life. I lived about a mile from a church, but I'd never heard the story of Jesus. So I went to Sunday school, heard that story, heard a preacher preach and give an invitation. And so in the routine of going to church was when everything changed in my life. Isn't that what God does? And that's what He wants to do with you and me. He wants to make us different. He's not going to necessarily change what you have to do on Monday as far as making a living and going back to the routine of life, but He wants to change you. So that folks see and say, what's happened to you? Christ changed my life. It changes the quality, it changes the direction, but it also changes the eternal destiny of where we're headed. From the road to hell to the road to heaven, from just doing stuff to it having meaning in all that we do, because it glorifies God. And so what do we do after Christmas? Well, we're like the shepherds. We're returning, but we're returning with something different, aren't we? Yeah, Christ makes the difference, doesn't He? Let's bow our heads for prayer, please. Thank you for listening. Thank you for the time. Thank you, Todd, for the opportunity. Do you need to come and pray this morning? You need to come and say, Lord, I sure could use some help. I sure could use some grace. Lord, I'm facing decisions. I'm at a place where I've never been before. I'm having situations I have to decide and make and determine. And I sure could use your help. You want to come and pray about that? Especially, my friend, if you're not a Christian, I just believe God put you here to say, you know, Christ to make a difference. If you'll open your heart to Him, He will. So why don't we slip quietly to our feet just now. I'm going to pray, and then if you want to come and pray, come on right now, before I do anything else. You want to come and pray? So would you slip quietly to your feet, please? And if you want to come and pray, come on right now. Just an opportunity, just a simple chance to come bow before the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for your truth, your goodness, your grace. We pray with and for everyone here. We give you praise that you're the one that makes all the difference. So, Lord, help us just now to have open hearts, to intentionally decide to live for Christ. So our heads are bowed. You want to come and pray just now? Ask God for His help. You'll do right by coming if you feel that tug in your heart to go pray. Well, come on. Come on right now. Thanks, Lord, for your word, your truth, and may it abide. And I know that you will be faithful to all you tell us. And we give you praise today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Christ makes all the difference. Amen. My prayer today is that if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you've not experienced how He can make all the difference in your life, I'll be around, others will be around, be glad to talk with you, glad to pray with you. Just a reminder, the signed copy is up here, Acts commentary. You'll definitely be blessed by that. So let's ask the Lord to go with us. And just also a reminder, the Bible reading schedule for 2020 is out there if you want to get a copy of that also. Father, we just thank you and praise you for being with us today. And Jesus, we just worship and praise your holy name. And Jesus, we thank you and praise you that you humbled yourself, you left heaven, you came, you were born in that manger. But Jesus, you did that so that you could be born in our hearts. And we just thank you, Jesus, how you have come to live within us and how you have made all the difference. And how, Jesus, in you, we are a new creation. And now, Lord, as we get back to life and routine and work, Lord, just as the shepherds went back and as we go back after Christmas, we pray, Lord Jesus, that we will just sense your presence in our lives in a very powerful way, that you'll be with us tomorrow, that you'll be with us Tuesday, that you'll be with us throughout the week. And Lord, as we interact with our co-workers and go back out, Lord, that Lord Jesus, that you will just be so present and so real, so powerful in our lives, that you will continue to just change us and make us more like you. And so we just give you thanks and praise again for this day, for your presence that's been with us. And we just, again, thank you, God, for how good you are. And we ask all these things in your name. Amen. Amen. God bless you this morning.